Thanks, Rhonda. Appreciate it. Good morning. I have good news. Snow's melted. I don't know if that's... I told that the first hour. I said it in my Sunday school class, and they kind of told me that winter's not over yet. But the snow has melted, and I can see my driveway. So that's awesome, man. I don't know if that makes y'all happy, but it does make me happy. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 1 today. We've been going through the Beatitudes. Pastor Chris has been leading us through the Beatitudes, and I thought we would step out of the Beatitudes in the New Testament and look at one in the Old Testament. So Psalms chapter 1, we're going to read all six verses, and we're going to pray, and we're going to see what God has for us. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff that is which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Let's pray. Lord, we again want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. And I just pray, God, for us, this room, for each individual here today, myself included, God, that you would just use this message, this time here, to draw us to yourself. That we could, as we just heard, that we could realize that we are in Christ this morning. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. You know, in the eyes of an eternity, I was thinking about this as I said this in the first service, but it's kind of a curious way of putting this, but in the eyes of eternity, your lifespan's not very long. You know, when you look at, if you graphed it on a timeline, you probably wouldn't even see it. So I hate to tell you that, but you're not that important, neither am I. So, like I said, I don't know why I said that, but, you know, sometimes, why I even thought this as I was writing this last night, you know, sometimes I think when I finish college, you know, just time has flown by. Here I'm in my mid-50s, and I'm looking back, and I'm thinking, gosh, where's time gone? Where's it all been? Where's it all happened? You know, and one day, eventually, we're all going to stand before the Lord. We're all going to be held accountable, some as believers, some as non-believers, some of us sooner than others. But we're all going to stand before... You know, death is as much a part of life as birth is. You know, we celebrate when babies are born. We're excited, and it's awesome time. It's just great. But you know what? As a believer, and you die as a believer, guess what? Paul says, absent in the body is present with the Lord. It's a homegoing. It's something to celebrate. Now, as a non-believer, it's hard. And, you know, I just saw someone in my own family go through this. It's hard. So one of the questions I want to answer today, one of the questions I want to look at today is, how can you and I, how can we use the most of the time that we have left here on earth? Like I said, I'm in my mid-50s. Hopefully I'm going to live another, at least till the end of the day. Hopefully I'm going to live a couple more years. How can I use this to God's glory? That's what I want to ask. You know, some of you are young. We got little ones. I'm looking at little ones. How can they use the rest of their life to the glory of God, however long that is? And that's what you know, a lot of us, we live hedonistically. I'm guilty. I just be honest with you. I'm guilty. I like me. I do. I like me I like my flesh, and my flesh cries out to me wanting stuff. I live very hedonistically, carelessly, not giving much thought about anything, any of you. I always think of myself. Sometimes I'm not thinking of you. You know, we're all like this. Yet alone, You know, the world lives carelessly, not giving much thought. You know, there's only one choice. You know, Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." One day, we will all stand before our Creator, and we will all give an account to our life and how we lived our life here on earth. It's just as real as we can be. Will we stand before God as a heavenly Father, or will we stand before Him as a judge? That's the question. Some of the questions that I've been asking myself as I've been reading through this psalm. You know, to the believer, I want to urge you to make the most of your walk with God today. You know, to the non-believer, I want to urge you, and you know who you are. If you're here and you're not in Christ, as Rhonda was talking about, it's a great way of putting it. In Christ, Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 1. We are in Christ. We've been adopted. We've been predestined and ordained before the foundation of the world. In Christ. And if you're not in Christ, I would encourage you, seek God. Talk to myself. Talk with Pastor Chris today. Because today, Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can change that and be that person that Rhonda was talking about. Be that person that's in Christ. You know, Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my blood, as you have always obeyed, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as my not only as in my presence, but also in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." This is what Scripture is telling you and I to do as we are walking through this world, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. God provides. God has done everything He can so that you and I can have a restored relationship with Him. And He wants us to be a part of what He's done. That's an awesome thought when you think about it. You know, Psalms 1 compares the righteous and the unrighteous. It looks at both. It looks at the righteous man and it looks at the wicked man. The first three verses talk about what the righteous man is and what the righteous man is not. And the last three verses look at the wicked man and what the wicked man is. And so what I want to do today, I want to look at this psalm and I want to compare and contrast these two people. And it is a plea that you and I would have a deeper, more solid, more fruitful, more productive second half. For me, second half of my life. You know, and as we go through this, as we go through Psalms 1, I want to ask us three questions. And if you'll put that slide up, there's three questions that I think we all need to ask. And the first one is found in chapters 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "How are you being influenced?" This is an important question, and young people, you need to listen to this. Everybody, if you're here and you're above the age of one day, you need to listen to this, because the world is trying to influence you. Your peers are trying to influence you. Social media is trying to influence you to be just like them. And if you're here and you're like, I was going to say, the young people and the old people and everybody in between, you need to listen to this. Because we're all being influenced. Some of us for godly intent, some of us for ungodly intent. How are you being influenced? First question we want to look at. Second question is, what are you becoming? See, you have to realize how you're being influenced is going to result in who you're becoming. See, if you're being influenced for godly purposes, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a tendency to be a godly person. If you're influenced to an ungodly person, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be just like that. I mean, so how are you being influenced? What are you becoming? And then the third question I want to look at today is, how will you and I be judged? Will you be judged as a righteous man? Will you stand before God and will He say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Awesome. Come on in." Or will He say, "Depart"? The righteous and the wicked. So let's look at that first question. How are you and I, how are we being influenced? And I want to read these two verses again. Verse 1, it says, "How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." You know, according to verse 2, there are only two possible ways that you and I can be influenced. We are influenced either with a godly influence or an ungodly influence. And you and I, we need to look around and we need to ask ourselves how. Because the way you're being influenced is different from the way I'm being influenced. Proverbs 4, it says, "My son, be attentive to my word. Incline your ears to my saying." You and I are surrounded with all kinds of things that just call our name. Internet. How many of you guys get on the internet? How many of you guys got a Facebook page? Huge influence in your life. Social media. Huge internet. Huge influence in your life. The news. TV commercials. They don't pay a lot of money. I think the Super Bowl commercials are $500,000 for a 30 second. It's a crazy number. It's a crazy number. They don't pay that much money so that you won't buy their product. They're trying to influence, they're trying to make you dissatisfied with what you have so you'll buy what they have. That's the whole purpose of advertising. TV advertisements, huge. University, those of you who are in the university, those of you who are in high school, those of you who are in elementary school, they're trying to influence you towards their worldview. We are all being influenced in some manner or the other. And that's just a few that I thought of. All of us, family, friends, peers. And that's why I say, young people, you need to listen. You need to pay attention to your friends. And if your friends aren't really influencing you to be a godly young man or young woman, you know what I would tell you to do with those friends? Don't let them be. Unfriend them, to use a Facebook term. Unfriend them. Because you know what? They want you to be just like them. We don't realize what kind of influence they have on us. And remember, looking at this, how we're being influenced results in who we're becoming. Has a direct correlation. The things that we bring into our lives, the things that we allow in our personal space will be a direct result of who you are becoming. What are you allowing in? That's the first question. And we want to look at this. Verse 1, it says, are you walking in the counsel of the ungodly? That's what he's asking you. He's asking you, walking speaks of direction. And in this case, the psalmist says, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. I've never watched daytime talk shows. I'm thinking of one talk show. But you know what? I know there's a lot of people that do. And I know a lot of people get their advice from one particular daytime host, and she tells you how to live your life and how to be fruitful and how to do all these things, how to deal with everyday lives. One place that you are being ungodly counsel. You read them. How many of y'all stand in line in Hy-Vee? Those magazines? There's either magazines on the aisles or there's candy on the aisles. And you know what? If I'm not eating the candy, I'm reading the magazines. You know, the magazines that the stuff that we read, the stuff that we bring into our mind, it's influencing us. And whether we realize it or not, it's going to cause us to become somebody we might not want to be. Some people we consult with, you know, some people go to the psychics or read. When I was a young man in high school, I had a study hall. I slept in my study hall. I will confess, I was not a great student at this time. But we also had the newspaper, so when I woke up from my nap, I would read my horoscopes every day. I thought, oh, it's great, until my wife told me what I was doing. I had no clue. I was very naive at this point. I mean, you know, it's just words on a piece of paper. But they're influencing you. They're influencing me. They're causing me to be somebody that I don't want to be, that I shouldn't be. It's ungodly influence. And so the question I'm asking you again, are you walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Next question he's asking you, are you standing in the way of sinners? That's the next phrase in this passage. Are you standing in the way of sinners? And after we go in the direction of seeking the advice of the ungodly, we move to consulting with, to identifying with their worldview. I don't know if you heard that. You know, when we're walking in the council, we're consulting their worldview. When we're standing in the council of the ungodly, we're identifying with. Standing speaks of how we are identifying with the world. We're not opposing their worldview, but we begin to embrace it. I saw this week, talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about a very big issue, I think, in abortion, and how he had changed his worldview, and he was starting to say, well, it's in certain cases, it was okay, and he was really starting to live too much in the world, and the world was affecting how he was thinking. See, how your influence affects who you become. You got to watch yourself. Are you standing in the way of sinners? Well, the next thing he says, are you sitting in the seat of scoffers? Speaking of a resting place. See, you're identifying with. You've gone from consulting with to identifying with, and now you're comfortable with this. You're sitting in the seat with scoffers. First, we walk around the council of the ungodly. And this is why it's so important, young folks, that you're paying attention to who you're hanging out with. This is why it's so important for you old folks that you pay attention to who you're hanging out with. And everybody in between, it's important. Everybody, it's important that we pay attention to who we're hanging out, who we're listening to, who we're getting our news from. It's important. See, first we walk around with the ungodly counsel, and then we begin to stand around with ungodly counsel, and then we adopt their worldview. We're sitting. We're comfortable. We're comfortable. We sit down. We take our seat, and we sit in the seat of scoffers, and we embrace the ungodliness that the world is offering. It's a progression here. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a progression. And we were talking in our Sunday school class about being alert, paying attention to what's going on around you. And we were in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 21, chapter 24. And we were just talking about how we are to keep our first love and how we're to stay fervent in our walk with the Lord. And one of those ways that we do that is we're staying alert. We're paying attention to things that are going on around us. We're being aware of those people that are trying to speak ungodly influence in our lives. And those that are speaking godly influence in our lives. And we should gravitate towards those that are speaking godly influence in our lives. And we should hold those others at arm's distance. If we want our walk with the Lord to stay fervent, to stay fresh, to stay current. Sitting in the seat of scoffers. You know, all three of these, the walking, the standing, and the sitting, draw attention to thinking. If you think about this, thinking, behaving, belonging is the progression here. You start thinking like this, and you start behaving like this, and then you start belonging to that worldview. It is a progression here. How are you being influenced? Huge question. Well, the next verse, it says, but his delight, this is the godly man, but his delight is in the law. This is what you should be doing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, And in it, in his law, he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man, blessed is the person who makes much of his walk with God. He surrounds himself with godly influence. Remember, who influences you determines who you become. I'm going to say this over and over and over. What influences you? If you're allowing the Word of God to influence you, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a fruit of righteousness that shows itself. Blessed. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man, the person, who guards his life. Well, the first one, he's delighting in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And the question is, how do you do that? How do you delight in God's word? You know, Webster, I looked up this word delight. Webster says it's to have a high degree of gratification. So how do you get a high degree of gratification from reading God's word? I mean, that's, for me, it was just a question that I was asking myself. And Psalm 1 says, this kind of delight only occurs when you spend time in God's word, in God's presence, in the church here, in community. 1 Peter, he says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word. And that word long, it's a command. It's an active command. Active means that you are doing it. You are participating in this activity. And it's a command. He's telling you, you got to do this. If you want to keep your walk fresh, you got to do it. You got to long for these things. The hunger and thirst for righteousness. We long. It's an active command. And when you taste too much of the world, your appetite for the things of God get dull. And that's just as simple as I can put it. When you long for the things, when you spend too much time seeking, wanting. I mean, the world, it's exciting too. If you think about it, there's a lot of really cool stuff that this world offers you. I mean, let's not pretend here. There's some really cool stuff. But when you start longing for this stuff too much, guess what? The things of God get dull. And I would tell you here today, if you're here today and you're thinking, wow, man, my walk with the Lord is really just not like it was. Maybe you're longing too much for the things of this world. Maybe you're not spending enough time in God's word. Maybe you're not doing the small things. See, the small things over a long period of time is what cause us to be strong in the Lord. Being faithful in the little things. Get back to God's word. Allow it to speak to you. That's what Romans 12:2 says. It says, be transformed. That word metamorphosis, be changed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way your mind is renewed is when you put God's word in your mind. Amen. Reading God's word, sitting Bible study, coming to church on Sunday morning, allowing it to speak truth into my life. That's how it happens. Meditate. Next thing, meditating on God's word. To meditate implies to moan. I looked this up in Oxford Dictionary. To moan, to growl, to utter, to speak, to murmur. It's a vocal thing. You're saying it over and over and over. You know, if I have a life verse, it's Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Three times in chapter 1, verse 9, verse 1 through verse 9, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. In verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times in those 9 verses, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. He's about to cross. He's about to take 1 million disgruntled people across into the promised land. And God's telling him, be strong. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to make sure that things go right. And I, you know, this verse just spoke to me when I first became a believer. And then I read verse 8. About 10 years into my walk with the Lord, I read chapter 1, verse 8. And let me read it to you. It says, this book, and this is how Joshua was going to be successful. Joshua wasn't going to be successful because he was a strong, mighty warrior. I'm sure that had some to do with it. Not much. But this is how Joshua is going to be successful. And this is how you and I are going to be successful too. Verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Question is, are you prosperous? Maybe not according to the world, but is your spiritual walk, is it prosperous? And if it's not, are you doing this? Are you meditating on God's word? Because that's what God's telling us. Meditating on God's word makes us prosperous. So we don't depart from the things that he's telling us. You know, he's given us things that we are to do and things that we're not to do. And the things that we're not to do are not because he's trying to keep things from us. He's trying to keep us out of trouble. And he's telling us, do this and you're going to be prosperous. Again, it's not going to be prosperous the way the world thinks, but it's going to be prosperous the way God wants you to be prosperous. Spiritually, the inner man's going to be strengthened. And when the world's falling down around you, guess what? You're going to be able to stand. And people in your family are going to look at you and go, wow, what is up with this guy? Why can you do that? And you're going through this. And it's not anything that you do, but it's what God is doing in you. Meditate on God's word day in, day out. You know, I've always spoke, you know, read your Bible. You know what? It's not enough just to read Scripture. Now, don't hear me wrong. I think every one of us should have a reading plan. Every one of us should be reading. Right now I'm reading through John, teaching John, and I'm reading through it. And I get to the end of John, guess what? I go back to the very beginning, and I'm just reading it, and I'm just allowing John to speak into my life. And sometimes that's what you need to do. You need to have a reading plan, but you also need to meditate on God's word. And you need to allow God's word to seep into your soul so it changes you. That's what happens. You memorize God's word. You memorize a passage. The first scripture I memorized was Psalms 139:14. It says, I taped it on the mirror in my bathroom. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. My soul knows it full well. When I first became a believer, I did not think I was fearfully and wonderfully made, because I was walking in the counsel of the ungodly, and I was believing what the counsel of the ungodly said about me. That's just the truth. And then I started reading God's word, and then I started seeing, wow, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God had transformed this person into something totally different. And I started walking in the counsel of the godly. I started meditating on God's word. I started allowing God's word to speak truth into my life, change my whole life, whole perspective. Meditate on God's word. You know, last week, Pastor Chris, he was talking about Matthew 5:6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be satisfied. And he said he was on a treadmill and he was praying for his kids. And he was like, God was saying, you're praying wrong. And I know that I'm going to butcher his story. But I pray the same thing he prayed. God, give them a good mate. Give them a good job. Give them this and give them that. I wanted God to bless my kids. And he's going, wait a minute, you're praying wrong. You need to pray that your kids hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because right after you finish that verse, it says, for then they will be satisfied. Like I said, when the world's falling down around you, and you're walking with God, man, it's okay. Because you know He's there. You know tomorrow He's still going to be there. Well, the second question is, what are you becoming? So we've looked at how you're being influenced. And every one of us need to really pay attention to how we're being influenced. Remember, godly influences, ungodly influences. And both of those are going to affect how you are becoming. Let me read the next two verses. This is verse 3 and 4. It says, He will be like a, for this is the blessed man, He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. How we are influenced, and I've said this before, will reflect what we become. And we all need to ask ourselves this question. What are you becoming right now? Because when you ask this question, what am I becoming right now? It's going to tell you how you're being influenced. And you need to get those ungodly influences out of your life so you can become like Christ. That's our ultimate goal. When I die, all I want to hear from the Lord is, well done. Good job. You weren't perfect, but you finished. That's what I want to hear. And I'm not perfect. And if you ask my wife, you ask anybody, not, they know I'm not perfect. But I want to hear, well done. And the only way I can hear those words is I watch who's influencing me. That's what I want to become. That's when I finish my race, that's what I want to be. The person who delights, delights in God's word and meditates on God's word will become like the tree planted by rivers. And you have found, when you do this, you've found a source of contentment. You're refreshed, you're nourished, even in the dark parts of your times of your life, you're refreshed, you're content, because you know God's there with you. When you walk through the valleys, I will not be afraid. There's peace, there's hope, and this is the one thing that the world does not offer. They offer you all these awesome things, cotton candy as I call it. They do not offer you peace. They do not offer you peace. Scripture does. God does. If you're here today and you're not following the Lord, today is the day of salvation. You can find peace in Christ today. If you're here and you've walked away from the Lord, you're allowing the world to influence you, guess what? There's peace here today in Christ. And I just encourage you, all of us, to turn back to Christ. That's the only hope that we have. Well, it says it yields its fruit in its season. And hey, have you ever been around a person who speaks life and doesn't even know they're doing it, but they walk into the room and they start talking. And every word they say, they kind of put their finger on hurt in your life. And they probably don't even realize they're doing it. But it's ministering to you because God is using this person to speak truth and speak hope. Maybe it's an encouraging word. Maybe it's a convicting word. But he's speaking hope into your life. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about, yielding fruit in its season. Its leaves do not wither. Now, y'all know, just from me talking here, I'm from West Texas. We have a plant there called the tumbleweed. And y'all probably seen tumbleweed. I've seen them blow. So, that's a story. I'll tell you the story I was going to tell you later on. If you're going to make it as a plant in West Texas, the only way you're going to survive as a plant, whether it's a cotton plant, tumbleweed, something that you use, something that you want to burn. The only way you're going to make it is if your roots go deep. That's it. And a tumbleweed has taproots. A taproot is just a single root that just, a tumbleweed could be, in the very beginning, is about 4 inches tall, but its roots are about 8. And then it gets 6 feet tall, or 6 inches tall, its roots are about 1 foot. It just, they go deep. And in this world, guess what? The only way you're going to make it, if your roots go deep, deep into God's word, deep into the hope that you have here. He is planted in God's word, and while other plants wither, you flourish. And you can see it. This is the thing. All the other, the cotton, if you know anything about cotton is a very delicate plant. And until it's about 1.5 feet tall, it can die just because the sun comes up. Literally. It's just a very, very delicate plant. And the cotton plant over here looks like it's about to die. No, and you have to also have to understand about West Texas. We get about 17 inches of rain a year. Usually half of that comes in a weekend. And the cotton plant's either it's drowning or it's not doing good, but the tumbleweed, it's green, bushy, growing, and for whatever reason, its roots are deep. You gotta go deep here. He is planted in God's word while other plants are withering, struggling to make it. And you can see this. This is what I was getting at. You can see the difference. Plants, those that are native to West Texas and those that aren't. You can see it. And it's the same thing here. We can, when you're not planted in God's word, you can see it. You know. It says, in whatever he does, he prospers. Next thing. Does that mean that if you delight and meditate on God's word, that you'll be like, and you'll be like a tree, that you will prosper? Yes. Maybe not like the world says, but you will prosper the way God says. And I want to read this psalm to you. In fact, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 73. Because we look and we see the world and we see the wicked and they're prospering and you're thinking, man, wait a minute, God, I'm doing everything right and he's not. And look at what he's got. It's not fair. Well, Psalm 73, verse 1, it says, truly, God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled and my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw their prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others, and they are not stricken like the rest of mankind. And it seems like the world doesn't matter what they do. They can live the way they want, and they are making it. And it's obvious. Their bodies are sleek and fat, as the psalm says. But you keep reading this psalm, picking it up in verse 13 through 20, it says, in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned therein. Their end. Truly, you have set them on a slippery place, and you will make them fall to ruin. In the end, you know, they're not going to hear the words, well done. The ungodly are not going to hear, well done. They're not going to stand before God as a heavenly father. They're going to stand before God as a judge. And they're going to give an account. And he's going to say, depart. So we've asked ourselves the questions, how are you being influenced? And what are you becoming? Well, the third question is how are we going to be judged? Let's look at verses 5 and 6. It says, therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the wicked will perish. Hebrews 9:27, it says, inasmuch as it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes judgment. And we all, like I said in the very beginning, we all have an appointed date with destiny, with our death. Just like we had an appointed date, December 28, 1961. That was my appointed day for birth. I don't know when my death's appointed date is, but we all, and you know what? You can't reschedule it. You can't. It's set. God has a set date for each one of us. It's just, we can't get away with it. The ungodly will not be able to stand in the day of judgment. It looks like everything's going well for them. It looks like everything's going great, but they will not be able to stand. That's what this psalm says. 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourself. See whether you're in the faith. See, I think it's a good thing that you and I examine ourselves. That we take an account. That we look, how am I being influenced? What are the ungodly influences in my life? And how can I get rid of those? What are the godly influences in my life? And how can I multiply those? It's a good thing for us to examine ourselves. You know, when a rocket takes off, and let's say we're traveling to the moon, it doesn't set its course one time and go and starts going. All along the way, it's adjusting its course so it doesn't land on Mars. I mean, it's always adjusting its course, correcting its course, and making sure that it is on the right path to the moon. And it's the same thing in our lives. We need to examine ourselves so we can make sure that we're on the right path. You know, Christian, in the book Pilgrim's Progress, just read the book again about a couple months ago. It's an awesome book. If you haven't read it, you need to read Pilgrim's Progress. Christian, in this book, started listening to the worldly wise man. You know where he ended? Full of despond. Watch who you're listening to. Pay attention to who you're listening to. Make those course adjustments as you're going along, as you're walking with the Lord. Make sure that you're on the path. And that was the whole premise of the book. After Christian's burden, he went to the cross. After his burden was released, he was told, he was given his paper so he could get into the celestial city. And then the guy at the gate says, stay on the path. That's all he had to do. Periodically, he was coaxed over here and then coaxed over here. He made his way back. He made those course adjustments. Examine yourself. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. See if you are in Christ. For the Lord, verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the wicked will perish. You know, three questions today. How are you being influenced? What in your life do you need to get rid of? We were getting ready for bed last night, and I am so tired of the news right now. I don't care which side you listen to. I'm just so tired of it. It's an influence in my life that I'm really considering getting rid of, because I don't think they're telling me the truth anyway. What's influencing you? And it's causing me, you see, the news is causing me to have a negative outlook on where I'm going, where our country's going, where the world's going. I know the world isn't a great place, but it's causing me to look negatively at everything. What's influencing you? What's influencing you for godly sake? What's influencing you for ungodly sake? You need to get rid of those ungodly influences. You need to at least minimize this. I know we can't get rid of all of them, but you at least need to minimize these. You need to multiply the godly influences and diminish the ungodly, because how you're being influenced is going to determine who you become. And who you become is going to determine how you're going to be judged. You're going to stand before God, and is he going to say, well done, or is he going to say, depart? You know, God, I just want to thank you for this day. And, you know, again, we're here. Maybe you're here and you've been walking away from God for the last day, the last year, or maybe you've never began your walk with the Lord. Today is the day. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how far you've walked. God's grace is sufficient for you. He says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And if you need to come back to the Lord, guess what? He's here. All you got to do is say, Lord, please forgive me. And if that's you, I just encourage you, right where you're sitting, take a minute. Talk to the Lord. If you're a believer and you've walked away from the Lord, there's this word called repentance. It means to turn from the ungodly influence and to turn to the godly influence. Turn away from the things of the world and turn to God. That's you today. If you're a believer and you've been listening to the world, if your walk with the Lord is dull and you've been hanging out in the world too long, today, ask God for forgiveness. Return to your first fruits. Return to your first love. Allow him to speak truth into your life. If you're here and you're not a believer, you've never asked the Lord to come in, to be a part, you're not in Christ as we heard today, today's the day, and I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you, or Pastor Chris wants to talk to you today, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the time that you can profess Christ and begin a new walk. Lord God, I just thank you for this morning. I just thank you for each person here, and I pray, God, right now that you would just speak to our hearts, that you'd cause us to hunger, cause us to thirst. Lord, that you'd give us a gift of repentance, that we could turn away from the ungodly and we could turn to the godly. We could turn away from the world and we could turn to you, Lord. Thank you so much for your grace, and thank you so much for your saving mercy. Bless you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.